Good afternoon, everyone. I waited a whole week for this moment. So today we're going to continue on in Yoshua. I'm in a slightly different area today just because of technicalities. So if there's any technical problem, if you can't hear me or something, please let me know. But hopefully where I am should be working. Usually Rabbi Shabtai will send me a text saying, we can't hear you or something like that. But if as long as we're good. Today we're doing Perek Hei through Perek Ches of Yoshua. In Yoshua, I want to discuss, last week we talked about that Yoshua, what he did was he had to translate the Torah from the previous generation to the new generation. That was his charge. And today what I want to discuss is, okay, so what did he do? Meaning when he first started out, we're still in the first prakim of Yoshua, Perek Hei through Perek Ches. So what did he do exactly to make that transition? What comes out if you read the psukim is something fascinating. What we see is that there are a number of mitzvos that happened at the time that are exactly what happened when we came out of Mitzrayim, which is strange. It happened to be, seemingly. Nothing happens to be in Yiddishkeit, but it happened to be that numerous events, really almost exactly the same as coming out of Mitzrayim, happened at the beginning of Sefer Yoshua. So I'm going to share my screen with you to show you a number of psukim with you. And I want to try to figure out with you why it is that these events happened dafka when they were leaving Mitzrayim, and again, when they are coming into Eretz Yisrael with Yehoshua. So I'm going to share the screen. I think I sent a source sheet. Rabbi Shabtai I sent it a little bit late, so if you didn't get it, I apologize. I'm not really so sure how to send it myself again. I'm not so good at that. But here are the sources. So I assume you can see. Everyone, just give me someone a thumbs up. I'm pretty sure you can see the screen. I'm pretty sure. Okay, so it says in Sefer Yoshua like this. Perek Hei, Pasuk Beis, Ba'is Hahi, Amar Hashem El Yoshua. So right at that time, Hashem said to Yoshua, Asei Lecha Charvos Tzurim. So I want you to have a sharp something or other, sharp whatever. V'shuv Mol Es B'nei Yisrael Shenis. I want you to give a bris milah to B'nei Yisrael for the second time. So again, right away, he gave, one of the first things he did was give a bris milah, bris milah to B'nai Yisrael. The pasuk says, ki mulim hayu kol ha'ama yotzim, because everyone had a bris milah when they left Mitzrayim. V'chol ha'am ha'yilodim ba'midbar, ba'derech b'tzeis v'mitzrayim l'malu. But everyone else, the people coming out of Mitzrayim had a bris milah, but the entire time when they were in the midbar, they did not have a bris milah. Says Rashi right here, Shenis, right? So the pasuk says Shenis. What does Shenis mean? That he gave them a second bris milah. You can't get a second bris milah. That's impossible. So what does it mean? Shemalu kvar b'leil yitzesa mimitzrayim. Kahal gadol yachad. The first time that all of Bnei Yisrael had a bris milah, usually a bris milah, there's one family, two families, whatever, on a certain day have a bris milah. But the fact that all of Klal Yisrael had a bris milah when coming out of Eretz Yisrael, v'zu pam shenis, and this is the second time such a thing happened. Okay, so number one, we see that right, just like when they came out of Mitzrayim, every person had a bris milah as a whole tzibur, not just an individual. Also, the second time in history that happened was when we came into Eretz Yisrael right away with Yehoshua. And the truth is, again, like he said, they did not have a bris milah. Most of the people did not have bris milah when they were in the midbar. So this is a clear parallel between leaving Mitzrayim and coming into Eretz Yisrael. There's another one. This is a very blatant one. It says in Perek Hey again, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayachanu b'nei Yisrael ba'gilgal, Vayasu es ha-Pesach ba'arba'o asar yom lachodesh. So that's a very easy parallel between coming into Mitzrayim, into Eretz Yisrael, and leaving Mitzrayim. They made a Korban Pesach right when they came to Eretz Yisrael, a few days later. Vayochlu me'avur ha'aretz b'macharas ha'pesach matzos v'kolui be'etzem hayom hazeh. Right, and they ate the matzah. So right away there's two clear parallels, right? Meaning you can't get much more parallel than having the Korban Pesach and the fact that they had bris milah. Now, we're going to try to develop why this is. Again, because like we said last week, the goal of Yoshua was to take Klai Yisrael to the next level, meaning we had Moshe Rabbeinu, then Yoshua has the charge of translating the Torah to the new generation, meaning figuring out a way to take the Torah and utilize it in this new situation of Eretz Yisrael. So, interestingly, it does make sense that he was building off of Mitzrayim. One of the greatest feats of Moshe Rabbeinu was that he was the leader of taking us out of Mitzrayim. So again, when Yoshua starts, when he brings us into Eretz Yisrael, he does the same exact two things that Moshe Rabbeinu did. He gives us a bris milah, and we have a Korban Pesach. But before we try to explain why that is and what that represents, I want to first take a tiny bit of a sidetrack to explain a crucial point of how to understand history. We know in history many events happen, right? There are a lot of events in history. Now, I don't know if you're a Fox News person or a CNN person. It really doesn't make so much of a difference. It might make a big difference, but not for this discussion. So when the news report something, they're reporting based on politics, based on various happenings of the time. They're not telling you the real reason why something happened. That's not they don't think that way, and that's not their goal. Their goal is to tell us the news the way that it appears in this world, in life. If they give a reason, the reason that they give is a political reason. Right? So if you would, let's go to a very famous example. If you would go back 2,000 plus years to the Churban HaBayis, to when the Romans destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So if we would go back to the news, to the newspapers at the time, what would we see? They would probably say, you know, that the Romans were the Roman officer taking over, et cetera, et cetera. There's politics involved and they wanted Yerushalayim for whatever reason. There's a lot of politics involved in any takeover, in any such war. That's obvious. But if you look at Chazal, what does Chazal tell us famously? For the second Beis HaMikdash, why was it destroyed? Because of sinas chinam, because of hatred of one Jew to another. So I understand, which one is it? Is it because of sinas chinam, or is it because of the politics of the day? The answer is, certainly the most fundamental reason is sinas chinam, is hatred of the baseless hatred. That's clear. That is the real reason. Now, so Bnei Yisrael, we were because of sinas chinam, we had to lose the Beis HaMikdash. So what did Hashem do? Hashem orchestrated the world in such a way, in the political world, in a way where the Romans would take over, et cetera, and they would attack Yerushalayim. So the practical reason is based on the politics, but the real, the deeper reason, the reason that the politics even came into being certainly is because of the source, which is the spiritual reason, which is sinas chinam. Now that's one example. I want to read to you a couple more examples. Rav Putner puts this very nicely. I'm going to share my screen with you just to show you, this is not a, this is a very, very crucial point that we're going to bring it back to our story of Yehoshua. Says Rav Huttner. He says in a, he said in a speech, it was published in the Jewish Observer a number of years ago. He says like this: our orientation toward Jewish history must reflect an attitude toward Kedusha, approaching that which is most holy and sacred. This sanctity stems from the fact that Yisrael v'Oraisa Chadu, the Jewish people and the Torah, are one, thus intimately relating the proper study of Jewish history with the study of the Torah. Meaning that when you study history, it is the study of Torah, because Kutcha Brichu v'Yisrael Chad. Because Yisrael v'Oraisa Chad, the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu who governs history, governs Bnei Yisrael, governs the Torah. You can darshin up, you can understand. You, most of us aren't always so privy, but if we understand what Chazal tells us and understand what the Torah tells us about a certain time in history, then it's not happenstance. It happens to be that something worked out at a certain time. No, it's exactly for a certain reason. The history itself is an aspect of Torah. The God of the Torah is the God of history. So you can darshan up history. Now let's see what happened at this time, at Yehoshua. It says, so on a very simple level, Rashi says, Shekol ha'arboim shana shahayu b'midbar lo nishba lehem ruach tzfonis v'lo haya lehem noach lamul k'mo sheshadidu b'yavamis. He quotes the Gemara in Yavamis, basically that there wasn't a northern wind, for whatever that means. It means that it was dangerous. Practically, it would be dangerous for them to have a bris milah during that time when they were in the midbar. So they didn't have a bris milah. So if I would ask you on a very, very simple level, if CNN was reporting at the time, okay, so why is it that there was that Bnei Yisrael did not have a bris milah at that time? The answer is because it was dangerous. That's it. Game over. But it's so much deeper than that. Let's continue on to the next source. Again, the Rambam, in the very, very famous, very, very famous, very, very crucial, fundamental Rambam that also tells us to look at these ideas on a deeper level, not to take it at face value the way that you might see it reported on news. That's certainly true. Or it's not true. Depends if it's fake news or not, right? But either way, there's a level of truth to the news as reported, but that's not the depth. Says the Rambam, "Bizman shetavot sara v'yizaku alav v'yaru." At the time when there is a sara, when there is a something bad happening to Bnei Yisrael, we cry out to Hashem. Yidu akol shebiglal maaseim haroyim hu raleh. We'll know it's because of something that we did wrong. But if we don't cry out, it was just happening. It's politics. It happened to be. The tzorazu nikra nikres. And again, it just happened to be that this calamity happened. Harezu derech achzorius. That's cruel. That is a cruel way of thinking. That something just happened. The Guremis Lahem the Dabik Masem Arayim. And it's gonna, you'll end up continuing just doing the things you've always been doing and not caring to change. The Tosif Hatsara Tsara Sacheris, and Hashem's gonna bring even more punishment because the first one didn't work. Hu Shakasa Batara Havalachtimi Bakari, if you see what I do as Keri, as happenstance, I will act with you with anger of happenstance. Meaning that I'm going to treat you not like a son, but like someone who unfortunately, Rahman al-Islam, is distant from a Kaddish Baruch. So we see again from Rav Huttner explaining it very nicely, we see it from the Rambam, we see from really just, if you think from Chazal, from Tanakh, that things that happen in history are not Stam, they didn't just happen. You must darshan them. So why is it that Bnei Yisrael at this moment, Dafka, they brought up Korban Pesach, that Bnei Yisrael, at this moment, they had a bris milah. It happened to be, it can't just happen to be. What's the reason? Let's go with one more thing that happened at this time. Says the Pasuk in Yoshua Perek, hey, Pasuk Yubeis, Vayishpos Haman Mimacharas. The man finished. They didn't have any more, they had no more man in their vessels. But once they ate from Eretz Yisrael, once they entered Eretz Yisrael and ate from Eretz Yisrael, they had no more man. V'lo haya od livnei Yisrael man. No more. V'yochu mitvuas Eretz Kanaan v'shana ha'i. And once they started eating from Eretz Yisrael, that was it. No more man. So let's think about this for a moment. What we now know three things that happened at that time. One, Hashem made it there will be no more man. We know that's number one. Number two, we said before that there was a bris milah. Number three, that there was a Korban Pesach. Now, why is it that the Korban Pesach and bris milah happened davka when they left Mitzrayim? And now davka now. What do Korban Pesach and bris milah represent? We know that there's two mitzvos in the entire Torah, two mitzvos that say, positive commandments in the entire Torah, that when you do, if you do not perform those mitzvos, chas v'shalom, the person is chayiv kares. Kares usually, being totally cut off from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, is usually only for mitzvos, for averos, very, very, very chamor, very strict averos. Some of the arayos, some terrible things. Usually only for averos. Mitzvos, if you don't do a mitzvah, it's bad. You should always do mitzvahs. But if you don't do a mitzvah, you don't get punished with such a level of punishment. Kares, it's the worst. But says the Torah, that no, there are two mitzvahs in the Torah that there is kares even for not doing a positive mitzvah. One, Korban Pesach. Two, bris milah. That would definitely seem that the two most fundamental, or definitely of the most fundamental mitzvahs in the entire Torah, mitzvahs asay, are Korban Pesach and Bris Milah. What is it about them? The idea of both of them is that there's that we are forever tied to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a Bris Milah, a bris means a covenant, meaning that by doing the Bris, again, the how and the why, I don't know, I'm just saying what it does is that bris on the body, by doing a bris milah and making that imprint on the human flesh, we are, for whatever reason, Hashem has said, that is a bris, that is a covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we are now tied to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same thing with Pesach. The same thing with Pesach. With Pesach, that's when we became a nation. Before Pesach, we were a bunch of strangers in a strange land, a bunch of slaves in a strange land. Comes Korban Pesach, and we become an Am that leaves Mitzrayim. And it would not have worked out, if Pesach would not have worked out in our favor, Chas v'Shalom, we'd be doomed. We're shechting in their face, their God. We're going to Mitzrayim, we are in Mitzrayim, shechting their God in their face. If Bnei Yisrael does not, if Hashem does not help Bnei Yisrael at this point, we are done for. So what the Korban Pesach did is it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are forever with you. It's a covenant. So the bris of Bris Milah and the bris of Korban Pesach, they were the two mitzvahs that brought us out of Mitzrayim. Makes a lot of sense why Yehoshua started his venture into Eretz Yisrael with exactly those two mitzvahs. We're no longer in the Midbar. We're no longer in Mitzrayim. We're starting a new point in history. So what do we do? What we do is we take those same mitzvahs and we reaffirm our covenant. We reaffirm our bris. Before we can go further, before we can build, you have to first make a foundation. Imagine you try to make a house on nothing, on quicksand, done for. So Hashem said, and Hashem worked out in history, that we would not have a bris milah in the Midbar. Adarabah, Hashem made it that the bris milah could not have happened in the Midbar. We would have been sick. So we did not have a bris mila in the Midbar. Hashem made it that we came into Eretz Yisrael davka at this time in Nisan. Meaning it could have been that we would have come in Kislev and then we couldn't have brought a Korban Pesach. We're not going to bring a Korban Pesach in the middle of Kislev. But Hashem made it. He orchestrated that we davka came into Eretz Yisrael in Nisan. So right away we had a bris mila, and right away we had the Korban Pesach. That we created this foundation the moment that we walked into Eretz Yisrael. Now, what the reason that there was no man, the man finished right at that moment. Again, it just happened. It happened to be there's no man? No way. What Hashem was doing, Hashem was making it that now it's the new stage in history. You're no longer in the Midbar. I'm no longer taking you through, holding your hand, and taking you step by step through every single way and throughout the whole Midbar. I'm not doing that anymore. This is the new point in history. At this moment, there's no more man. You're going to have to make your own food. You're going to have to toil in the land. You're going to have to make sure to make your own bread. That's what's going on at this point in history. In order to succeed, B'nai Yisrael had to have the foundation straight of Bris Mila and Korban Pesach. Now, interesting, I'll go even further with this. Not only was Hashem, did Hashem orchestrate that happened in Nisan, even Pesach, did it happen to be that Pesach is in Nisan? I mean, when else is Pesach supposed to be? Well, Tishrei is taken by Rosh Hashanah and Kislev by Hanukkah, so there's no room. It has to be in Nisan. No, it didn't have. It wasn't that. Well, Pesach is in Nisan because that's when we came out of Mitzrayim. No. We came out of Mitzrayim in Nisan because it must be in Nisan because Nisan represents a certain moment in history, a certain part of our year, that Davka, that's when Pesach belongs. So it's not that Nisan is great because of Pesach. No, Pesach is in Nisan because of the greatness of Nisan. Let's read a Maharal together. Says the Mara, Nisan hu haschala l'chadashim hu b'chor. Nisan is the beginning of the month. It's the first month, the b'chor, the first month. Ukumosha b'chor hu kadosh, just like the firstborn has a special kedusha. Kach kadosh Nisan. So too Nisan is kadosh. Ukdushaso hu mitzal shehu reishis lakol. And its kedusha is because it's the first. Hu nivdal malu madrega. It's above and beyond because it's the first. The first of something, you put all your effort into the first very often. There's something great about the first. He doesn't say that the kedusha of Nisan is because of Pesach. No, the kedusha of Nisan is because it's the first. It's the first month, the Rishon, the Rosh Chodeshim. V'zeh inyan asher achodesh v'zeh lachem Rishon. Ki hu karov la'atzilus mitzibah Rishona. V'hu Rishon va'atzilus. U'machmash sehu Rishon va'atzilus arei hu mistabek bo Yosef. U'mipnei zeh. Hoyu ha'nisim mischad shebechodesh hazeh. And that's why there were so many nisim in Chodesh Nisan. Not that Nisan is great because of Pesach, Adarabba. The Nisim, all of the miracles of Pesach happened in Nisan because of the greatness of Nisan. Mipnei zeh hayu Nisim mischadshim b'chodesh zeh. V'zeh inyan achilas ha-matzah b'chodesh zeh. That's why there was matzah at that time. L'madregos ha-chodesh, because of the chodesh. Shehu inyan noki min ha-chametz, because that month, the month of Nisan, is a month of, it has a b'chor, has a kedusha to it, that therefore it deserves the matzah. Shehu hesed, right? It doesn't have matzah. Matzah is clean from any chametz, from any evil, and that's why it's a Nisan. It's not that it's a Nisan because, well, that's when Pesach happened. No. Pesach happened in Nisan because Nisan is kadosh, and it deserves the matzah. Roishi Hashem Yisparach Mechadish Nisan b'chodesh Nisan v'tfi shehu ola l'mala b'makom sheshama g'ula. Fantastic. This is such a huge yisod. We have to think of our history completely backwards of what we always thought. We always think, okay, so something happened. Now something happened at a certain time. Okay, so now that time is special. No, that time is special for a certain reason, and that's why that thing happens at that time. I'm not going to get into this, but the Maharal also explains what's special about Tishrei. And because there's something special about Tishrei, that's why Rosh Hashanah is in Tishrei. Not the opposite. Not that, well, Tishrei is special because it has Rosh Hashanah. No, Tishrei is special, and that's why it has Rosh Hashanah. Unbelievable. So now coming back to Yoshua. They came into Eretz Yisrael, Davka in Nisan, because a minute ago we said, because it's a new Pesach, it's a new rebirth of Klal Yisrael. The first rebirth, the Rishon, the first time was when we left Mitzrayim. The Shenis, this second rebirth, the rebirth, not just the birth, but the rebirth of Klal Yisrael, is when we came into Eretz Yisrael. That's why it had to be a Nisan, to be patterned after Pesach. But there's more. It's Davka in Nisan because Nisan is a time of Kedusha. Nisan is a time when it's the spring. Things are on the rise. The Maharal says this elsewhere. It's a time when things are budding. It's a time of rebirth. That's what Nisan is. That's why Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, left Mitzrayim in Nisan. That was a time of birth. And that's why Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael during Nisan, because it's a time of birth. And what Yoshua is doing is he's recognizing that, and he's building that same foundation. He's looking at the time. He's looking at history. He's looking, okay, when are we coming into Eretz Yisrael? When does Hashem have it? When did Hashem orchestrate that this is what's happening? During Nisan. And he's rebuilding, he's reenacting a Pesach, and he's rebuilding Klal Yisrael, a rebirth of Klal Yisrael. That's the first thing he does. Now, what happens then? So someone could be happy kind of just making a foundation, but a foundation is made to build upon. Yoshua wasn't told just to kind of concretize what Moshe did. He was told to build upon that. So how did Yoshua build upon that which Moshe did? So I'm going to show you again, share the screen, some more psukim. It says in Perek Ches now, we're going ahead, four more prakim. It says like this. Az yivne Yoshua mizbeach la'Hashem lokei Yisrael b'har Eva. We read this in last week's parsha. This is past week. We read about Har Eva. So this is Yoshua did this. He came to Eretz Yisrael, and he did the brachos and the klolos on Har Eva. Kasher tziva Moshe Eved Hashem es Bnei Yisrael. Just like Hashem commanded Bnei Yisrael. Kagasu b'sefer Torah Moshe. Right, like it says in the Torah. Vayichtav Shom es Avonim es Mishneh Torah Moshe. Right, he wrote on the stones the Torah of Moshe, just like it says in this last six parsha. He's supposed to write the Torah on the stones. V'chol Yisrael zkeinav v'shotrav v'shoftav omdim mizeh u'mizeh. So all of Bnei Yisrael, the zkeinim, the shotrim, the shoftim, everyone was standing there. La'aron neged ha'kohanim ha'leviyim nosei aron bris Hashem. Kager ke'ezrach, the converts, the non-converts, everybody. Chetzosh al-mul har-grizim v'chetzo al-mul har-eva. Everyone was standing on these mountains. V'achrei chein. And he read the Torah, the brachos and the klalos, just like it says in the Torah. Lo hayadar mikol asher tziva Moshe asher lo kore Yoshua neged kol kahal Yisrael. There was nothing of the Torah that Yoshua did not read to Klal Yisrael. V'hanoshim, v'hataf, v'hager, ha'olich b'kirim. Everybody, the Yisrael, the women, the children, the gerim, everyone. Right. So what was this? What was this? What was this mitzvah? What was this mitzvah when they came to Eretz Yisrael to have a har grizim and a har eva? What was the point? It seems just like when all of Bnei Yisrael came together, let's say at Har Sinai, to accept the Torah. Once again, they're accepting the Torah yet again on a mountain, on two of them, when they came into Eretz Yisrael. Just like when we became an Am with Moshe, when we left Eretz Mitzrayim, and we had our bris with the Kodesh Baruch Hu through the bris milah, through the Korban, Pesach, and then we came and accepted the Torah on Har Sinai. It's mamish the same exact thing when we came into Eretz Yisrael. We had a bris milah, we had the Korban Pesach during Nisan, and we accepted the Torah at Har Grizim v'Har Eva. Mamish the same thing. So again, he made a foundation. He made a foundation of the bris. And then there was a reacceptance of the Torah. What's the point of a reacceptance? We accepted the Torah already. Because what we're doing at this point in history is not just doing everything that we did in the Midbar. We're going to the next level. What we're doing in Eretz Yisrael is that we're doing this without the Mon. We're doing this without the Mon, without HaKadosh Baruch Hu holding our hand through the Midbar. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that you need to do this yourself. This requires a reacceptance of the Torah itself in Eretz Yisrael. Now I'm going to point out one other fascinating point of it. Because when was this written? You would think it happened right away. That's what it says. It happened right away. If you look, the Psukim, for some reason, they're in Perek Ches, right? I showed you in Yoshua, that was in Perek Ches. That's a few prakim later. But really, that happened much earlier. It happened when he first came into Eretz Yisrael. Rashi says so from Chazal. Rashi says, Parsha Zu, Ksuva Muktam U'Mu'uchar. It's really before. It's written later, but it happened before. Really happened the day they came into Eretz Yisrael, which makes sense. That's what the Torah says. You should come into Eretz Yisrael and do the brachos uklolos. So if it happened right away, why did the Torah write it later? Why did Yeshua write it later in Sefer Yeshua? That makes no sense. So you have to understand one more point. The Navi is telling us one more thing. He wants to tell us a very famous story. We know the story of Achan, right? So the story of Achan is when they came, right, very quickly, the Bnei Yisrael, they Yoshua made a chirim. He said nobody could take from the spoils when they attacked the first city that they attacked. They attacked Jericho at first. No one was allowed to take the spoils. One person did. Achan, he took, and because Achan took the spoils against what Yeshua said, all of Bnei Israel was punished. Yeshua, when writing Sefer Yeshua, he put that story before the acceptance of the Torah at Har Griz and Har Eva, even though it happened actually later. It happened after, but he put it before. Why would he do that? Because what Yeshua wants to teach us is the concept of what happened with Achan was a concept that they were accepting at Har Grizim and Har Eva. Yes, they slipped. But that concept is part and parcel of what Bnei Yisrael was accepting when they came into Eretz Yisrael. Look, Rashi in Sanhedrin, Mem Gimel explains this. Avru es hayardim v'shamu v'kiblu aleim brachu suklolos v'har grizim v'har eva v'nasu areivim ze v'zeh. When we came into Eretz Yisrael, we became areivim ze Yisrael. Kol Yisrael, Reivim Zevazeh, when did that happen? When we came into Eretz Yisrael. That we all became like one entity, one unit, when we came into Eretz Yisrael. Miyad Nenshu Zeh Al Zeh. Because if we're one entity, if Rachmanu Litzlon, one part of the body has an illness, the entire body feels in pain. You know, your left arm doesn't say to your right arm, oh, no, well, you might be hurt, but I'm okay. That doesn't work that way. The entire body is in pain. So when Bnei Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, we're one entity. And the entire body of Bnei Yisrael is in pain when Achan does what he does. Says Rashi, Miyad Nenshu Zel Zeh. Va'afil lo yada zeh ba'averus shabiyad chaveru. Even if you don't even know what he did, we're all one body. We may Achan kvar avru es hayarden. So when we came through the Yarden, that's when that happened. The Michta Melio explains why is that. What's the reason for this? He explains, I'm going to say this outside just because of time. He explains, the Michta Melio of Dessler writes, that the reason that we're all judged as one, even though we're really a bunch of different people, why should we be one? Well, since we're one body, he says further, he says that if I, as an individual, would see something, let's say, as really terrible. Imagine all of Klal Yisrael would see dressing improperly, immodestly, as horrific, as really terrible. It flies in the face of what a Yid is. A Yid is supposed to be a Baishan. We're supposed to be people who have respect for human dignity, and we walk around without that dignity. If we would, now I might not dress, I might dress okay, and someone else might dress also, they might cover up, and they might dress modestly. But if I and everyone else in Klal Yisrael, if we don't see it with utter respect, the tremendous respect that dress should have, that modesty should have, then the person in Klal Yisrael who does not dress properly, that's because of us. Because if we would see it as terrible, then the individuals wouldn't do it. It's because we see it as okay, it's not good, okay, no. Okay, it's not good, but okay, there are worse things. Then that allows others to feel that they could do it. That's where Dessler acts. But the idea is that all of Klal Yisrael is one. My actions have huge effects on you. Your actions have huge effects on me. That all happened when we entered Eretz Yisrael. So now coming full circle over here. When Bnei Yisrael was coming into Eretz Yisrael, what Yoshua was charged with was to take the Torah of Moshe, like we said last week, to take the Torah of Moshe and build upon it, to translate it for this new generation. In order to do that, he looked around. He saw what's the history of the time. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu leading us? Wow. He makes it that we need a bris milah. We need a Korban Pesach. We're coming in Pesach time. What that means is that we have to have a covenant again, a rebirth. We first have to make our foundation, our covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then what we need to do is we need to have a new acceptance of the Torah. But not the same acceptance, a re-acceptance, a new acceptance. In Eretz Yisrael, when we're in Eretz Yisrael, it's not going to be exactly the same. We're not going to have the man. And in Eretz Yisrael, those stakes are higher. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a concept of Kol Yisrael, Reben Zebezet. That's why Yehoshua put the story of Achan before the re-acceptance of the Torah. Because the story of Achan teaches us the concept of Kol Yisrael Aravim Zeh B'Zeh. So even though, yes, that story happened after they accepted the Torah, but Yoshua is teaching us the acceptance of the Torah at Har Grizim V'Har Eval was that we are one entity. That was the new Klal Yisrael coming into Eretz Yisrael. And that showed itself in the story of Achan. That's what Yeshua was doing when he brought us in. The idea that we learn, I think, from this story of Yeshua is that again, when we're building, we don't just build based on quicksand. We build on a solid foundation. We have to look at the time in front of us. What's the Kadosh Baruch Hu leading towards in this time? We see the Torah of history. Where is the Kadosh Baruch Hu leading? Over here, he was giving us the Bris Milah. He was giving us Nisan. He was giving us Korban Pesach. Look at the time. What is the Torah of history teaching us right now? Let's create that foundation and then build upon it. Don't just be happy with what was. Look at the foundation. Build on the foundation. Make a solid foundation. And then re-accept the Torah, not just from what it was, but then build the thing that he brought into our existence that wasn't as much before, was the idea of Kol Yisrael, Reivim Zeh B'Zeh. The way he showed us that was the major acceptance when he walked into Eretz Yisrael was the fact that he wrote the idea of Achan, the story of Achan, he wrote that before the acceptance. Teach us that's what we were doing. In Eretz Yisrael, once we entered Eretz Yisrael, we entered a new stage in our history. We are one Am, so much so that what I do affects you, what you do affects me. Okay, very good. Amaisa, we should take the lesson from Yehoshua. The idea that he's saying here is incredible. The fact that there's the Torah of history is an incredible idea, that whatever happens on CNN or on Fox News, there's a Torah behind it. There's a reason for all of this. To realize that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one running the world, and to see this idea of Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh B'Zeh, to see the idea that what I do, it's not a game. This isn't a joke. What I do, the better I do this Tishrei, my Tishrei is affecting you, and your Tishrei is affecting me. It's a fantastic. We say it all the time. We sing it. Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh B'Zeh. But it's so deep. It's so fundamental. You know, that would be the avoda. I guess it happens to be a Kadosh Baruch Hu made it. There we go. The Torah of history. Kadosh Baruch Hu made it that we're going to learn this perek right before Slichos. We're starting Slichos this Motzi Shabbos. I guess the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah of history, taught us that we're learning about Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh B'Zeh Mamish right before Slichos. And to teach us exactly that. Anyway, Mishav Ksivu Ksivu Tova, and I'll see you next week, Mirtzah Shem. Okay, Kol Tov.
Thank you. Go to it.